Welcome to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast, a radical approach to herbalism, self-care, and the tarot. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the 57th episode of the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. This is Karina. I want to begin today with a moment of silence and acknowledgement for the recent murders of several Black trans women, including Dominique Remy Fells, Rhea Milton, Brayla Stone, Mercy Mack, and Tatiana Hall. And unfortunately, I'm sure there's been more just in the last month. But I felt like it was important to open just with an acknowledgement of the amount of tragedy that we constantly see, the amount of violence directed at Black trans women. And we need to address that as the core of all liberation movements. So we are living in the times, we're living in the world, and I hope that everyone's taking care of themselves. And I hope that everyone's also, as you're taking care of yourself, looking for ways to push yourself out of your comfort zone, looking for ways for you to expand on the ways that you show up for others, to expand on the ways that you observe your unique privileges in the context of this world. Because one thing that I've thought a lot about is that, you know, ants and cockroaches, you know, invasive insects that take over our spaces. And why do they survive? And why do people say they're going to take over the world? It's because they don't see themselves individually. One cockroach does not see its journey as a unique journey towards liberation and wealth. It's a collective. So in that way, I've been thinking about the way humans, we need to be more collectively minded when we act. And that's not to bypass any one experience. I'm someone that lives with a lot of privilege as a cis-passing, white, AFAB person in this society. But I've been thinking about that, like we really, you know, it's a thing that I see in my work as a witch, as a psychic. I see it. I see the fact that this is like the thing that tears us apart is the inability to see us as one collective being. But within that, within seeing us as one collective being, there is a deep need to acknowledge privilege and acknowledge systemic harms committed by racism, colonialism. Not only since the inception of the so-called United States, but since the beginning of human life, people have been beating and violating and oppressing one another. So, that said, again, I have today three amazing stories, plant person origin stories. This is episode 2 of this offering, and I want to just give a shout out to the three amazing plant people that shared their origin stories this time. There's Edith from Shadowwork Apothecary, Atalanta from Blossoming Resistance, and Gerard from Altered Roots. So I'll have links to their Instagrams and their websites in the show notes, and you can check out their offerings. I felt like these three stories went together really well. I think it's also, I was thinking about it because this is coming out in July, but it was supposed to come out closer to Pride, and I was like, okay, I'm going to have queer plant people. But I feel like most of the people on my podcast, honestly, are queer. And that, I don't think that you always need to announce, you know. I mean, I think it's important to own that and orient yourself and take up that space as a queer person. But sometimes I think sharing our stories without having to explain what our sexuality, sexual orientation, or like who we are or are not fucking does not need to be explicit. in the context of, you know, how we enjoy plant medicine. So I hope you enjoy these stories. I'll have a few more of these segments coming up in the next, between now and the end of the year. If you enjoy this podcast, I rely on the support of listeners. And maybe you're someone who enjoys this podcast and thinks, hey, I can fit it in my budget to have a monthly donation of like $5 or $7, even $2 towards this work. If that's the way you feel, you can go to www.patreon.com/riseupgoodwitch and make a pledge. And there's a lot of benefits there. I share a lot of extra content. I'm going to be sharing a full moon collective reading this Saturday for the full moon in Capricorn, my sun sign. So if you join before Saturday, you can be live on that video on YouTube. I'm thinking about moving it to Zoom so people can maybe ask questions, but we'll see how that goes. But yeah, definitely connect with me on Patreon. You can follow me on Instagram, Rise Up Good Witch. And I also wanted to give a shout out to an amazing mutual aid project that's happening in the high desert where I live, the Mojave Desert, called Desert Communities United. We are d.c.u on Instagram. And between now and July 13th, there is a PPE drive. We're looking for masks, alcohol pads, water bottles, tampons, other supplies to help distribute to unhoused communities to support them during COVID. I'm also making a ton of free medicine to hand out, like lots and lots of medicine. So I'm interested always in getting herbal donations, especially if you have like dried or fresh herbs, if you have a garden. I would love to get some of those for you so I could make magic with them and distribute them to people, because making plant medicine in these times feels like this really liberatory and ancestral act. And it's the way that I want to show up. It's the way that I can best show up. It's my love language, as they say. I feel like giving people free medicine is my love language. I'm a double Capricorn. I'm like an ace arrow person. I'm not that affectionate, but I love giving people free medicine. That's like the thing. That's like getting a hug from me. So I love you all, my listeners. Check out Desert Communities United. Check out Edith, Atalanta, and Gerard. Like, follow them, support their work. Check out the Patreon if you want. Make sure you're paying reparations. If you're a white person, pay reparations to Black folks. Pay reparations towards Indigenous groups. And I love you.
Hey y'all, this is Atalanta Sungurov from Blossoming Resistance. My plant, working with plants, origin story really starts as a young person, but I feel that it's just as important are all the other moments that have been woven into that. And I'm really grateful for time and those teachings to influence how we shift and change and grow into ourselves. As a young person, I grew up with Lyme disease and other chronic illness, and so I had a lot of pain, and I would spend a lot of time outside, and it seemed like the place that I could most kind of transcend those feelings and be held in such an expanded way outside of my own body. I also think that it was a space that was really important to me as a queer person, and I had safety there. I could witness the magic of the world around me. And also just thinking about how often we learn about things in such binary ways, about good and bad or gender, and, you know, thinking back to biology class and learning the anatomy of flowers, when the reality is most flowers don't grow like that, and most flowers are perfect flowers, and that the wild world is actually really queer. So for me, as a young person, that was a place where I found comfort and inspiration and safety. As a teenager, I started doing a lot of different activist work, and where I encountered myself was within activist community, though doing a lot of important and beautiful things was also a very give 100% all the time of yourself. And that resulted, as someone who is disabled, that resulted in me getting burnt out. And again, finding a place where I was held most was plants and by plant medicine. And so I think that was the moment when, as a young person who often couldn't find the support needed within allopathic medicine, whether there weren't answers or possibly because of invisible illness or access to healthcare insurance. And that's not to negate other people finding support within allopathic care at all. I just know that it's not necessarily what everyone can access or receive care within at all times. But working with plants in that way and starting to notice how I was able to be held by plant medicine as someone who did like a lot of edge walking and kind of and still have, and am I going to be here? And just that gratefulness of how plants have been able to hold me here in those moments, that really kind of was my moment to bring together the weaving of my younger experiences with my young adult experiences. And from there, I started to learn a lot about plants within a medicinal context. But I think that shifted over a period of the first 2 years as the narrative of kind of extractive medicine seemed to be still present within the herbal education I was able to access. And honestly, I think that's another piece about working with plants, is that I wasn't able to access a lot of herbal education, of like the mainstream herbal education, because of financial reasons and also as a parent. And honestly, I guess I'm grateful for that at the end of the day, because I think it really also built my experiences and knowledge outside of that context, and also where it paired back into activist work and anti-capitalism. And that really showed me that I wanted to do this work as as a weaving of those different experiences, of my personal experiences, of my family's experiences. And I think also a lot of influence for me has been around place and connection to place and rootedness. And as a white person who's a second generation family, thinking about what it is to work with land and getting to know the beings here, the plant beings and the pollinators, and what is it to use plants as medicine and to grow plants or harvest plants. And so I think that there, for me, the greatest influence has been learning from place and just that slow process of witnessing that really, really taught me about what it is to harvest and what it is to create medicine, and also the desire to create medicine outside of those patriarchal contexts. For instance, like flower essences, and you know, if you're reading a book about Bach essences, they're supposed to be made in a specific bowl and sunlight and everything. And this desire to kind of fuck that up and make essences in teacups in a thunderstorm, or also what is it to not pick a full bowl of flowers and make essences from that, but what about picking one flower or none at all? And so just this desire to really dive into that and what is medicine making and harvesting within a context that doesn't center humans. And I guess that's kind of my story, is just this mixture and this slow process of living this life and each year shedding things and gaining things, and how that reflection and witnessing and collaboration with others really gets to be part of our journeys of what we do and how we show up.
Hello everyone, my name is Edith Ramirez. I am the owner and head bruja at Shadowwork Apothecary. So in thinking about what to say on this little intro to me and how I got started in plant medicine, I just kept thinking, man, there's so many layers, right? As to what brings us to a certain point in our life, that especially with things that are so profound and big and, you know, just change the whole course of your life, which is what plant medicine has been for me. So I can think back to being 11 and getting a book from my father on witchcraft. So it was a book that had like candle magic and different, like just like 101, right? Herbs and a little bit of crystals and color associations and candles. And from him, it wasn't weird, because my dad was a weirdo in and of itself. And despite his many flaws and faults and being an alcoholic and being abusive towards my mother growing up, he was also, he also pushed education a lot and learning and books and reading. And he was also had an interesting take on religion, right? I'm Mexican. My parents are immigrants. But on his side, he would tell me, oh, you know, God is an alien. You know, and you don't have to go to church to confess your sins. You can talk directly, you know, up to the heavens and do it that way. You don't need it, this intermediary. You don't need to, what the church tells you, you know, listen to every single thing. I used to think it was like out of convenience on his part, right? Because if he didn't have to go confess himself, then he can continue doing what he was doing. So, but now as an adult, I'm like, okay, that actually makes a lot of sense. And it actually really resonates, because I've moved really far away from the Catholic Church, despite still practicing some traditional aspects of it, because I just incorporated them into my own spiritual practice now. On my mother's side, she grew up very Catholic. My grandmother, on her side, is super duper involved in the church, was always at church, right? Not the best person, but always in church. We all know those people. And so it was like this strange mix of different points of view of spirituality, of God, of the, you know, of heaven, of hell, of all of it. And, you know, like I said, the Catholic experience didn't really resonate with me very much. I did my sacraments. I grew up going to church, but it wasn't something that ever I felt in my heart, right? So when my dad gave me this book, it opened up this whole other realm of possibilities that I didn't feel comfortable practicing or delving into as a young kid. And I was always like really scared. I had a lot of fear around it. My mom used to always say, you better not play with the Ouija board. You better not call him Bloody Mary. You better not do any of that. The way I learned those chingazos, which means, you know, I'm going to whoop your butt if I ever catch you doing that. And she had a lot of experiences too, like around, like, I would say magic, right, around witchcraft. And I know my mom believed, and also my mom is very secretive in a lot of ways, right? And so I know that she had her own experience with that realm that, you know, made her instill a lot of fear. And so I laid it to rest, and every time I would go to the library, I would go straight to the section where they had all the, you know, Silver Raven Wolf books and witchcraft books, and nothing ever resonated with me in terms of like my culture, right? But I felt like magic was this non-cultural entity, you know, that I could study or that I could just learn about, and in this abstract way I didn't have to do it, right? So I wasn't going against my mom's wishes and, like, you know, practicing magic, but I could learn about it as much as I could and, like, just know about it. And so I did that for a long time in my teenage years, and it was kind of then laid to rest. At some point I lost my faith in just, you know, higher powers because of other stuff that was going on and stuff that was beyond my control. And, you know, when you're a kid and things seem like twisted and weird and they don't make sense, you're just like, why is this the way that it is, right? I mean, it's a natural response to be like a question within these higher powers. And in my 20s, that's when I began to reconnect back to, what is it that I believe in? What is it that I want to believe in? Right? And one thing that was always constant was friendship and my friends and the people around me and the people that I made my own, you know, that I made my family, that weren't my blood family. And a lot of those people, right, were into witchcraft, right? It was the 90s, guys. A lot of people were into witchcraft. So although I still didn't delve into it, and I wasn't like let's do a seance, guys, or, you know, it was reintroduced at that point as something that was, you know, still there. You know, fast forward many years later and several relationships, because when you're in a relationship with someone, their spiritual practices, you know, kind of, you know, are in the relationship with you too. And so when I met my wife in 2015, on her fifth date, she told me that she was psychic. And so it kind of opened up this Pandora's box again, right? At this point, I am in my 30s. I've had, you know, another long-term relationship under my belt, more life experience, regained my faith, lost my faith, all of the gamut, you know, that happens in a lifetime. And always searching for something more, right? Always feeling like this desire or this feeling of I'm missing something. I started working in the addiction field, which has a big emphasis on this higher power. And so I had been working on that already, but I wasn't aware that it was time and it was here, you know, the time to step into all of these things that I'd been kind of avoiding and skirting and kind of, you know, dancing around for almost my whole life. We're here and I needed to take notice. So, again, I met my wife in 2015, and that summer, 6 months into our relationship, she says, hey, you want to go to camp with me? And I'm like, huh? She's like, yeah, church camp. And I'm like, no, thanks. I'll see you when you get back. And so she explained to me, no, it's not like regular church. This is a spiritualist church. So I'm like, you know, I know this girl 6 months. I've met her family already. They seem legit, right? I'm not going to get like taken out into the middle of Kansas and get, you know, chopped up or anything. So I went. I'm a yes person. Let's go on an adventure. And at camp, I met, you know, witches and healers and psychics and all sorts of magical people. And it was like the light bulbs in my head were like firing away. And while there, someone comes up to me and says, "You're a witch, aren't you?" And so I looked at them and I'm just like, "Yeah, yeah, I am." And it was the first time I ever acknowledged that to someone else, right? In a space where it was super safe to do so. And I didn't know that at the time would become something that I honestly is so healing and I look forward to every single year. Unfortunately, we can't go this year because of, you know, the current situation, but it is such a magical place. I'm so grateful for my wife to have introduced me to that experience and to, you know, everyone that was there. And so I came back, you know, having that community. And again, it's in the middle of Kansas. And my wife was actually introduced to that place by her ex-girlfriend. So it's like this whole chain of things, right? And so I came back to you know, California thinking, I really want a community here. I really want to find a community here of spiritual people. I need to get more information. I need to connect more. And that's when Hood Herbalism came into my life. This was in 2017, and I'd been going to camp for a few years. I'd started on my spiritual journey. I had started to, you know, develop and practice, you know, what it was to, you know, be a witch, to be a bruja, to, you know, lay that spiritual foundation. For that, for me, is very important. You know, everyone practices differently. You know, witches are all different, and there's no one way to do or be. But for me, it was really important to understand, like, the responsibility behind it, right? The responsibility behind the magic, the responsibility behind, you know, the work. And so I found Hood Herbalism at that time in 2017, and it was a connection to this abuelita medicine that I'd been missing. You know, it was a connection to not only all of the grandmothers, right, but to my grandmother, who was a vital piece in me embarking on this journey. You know, she'd always been there all along, like she'd always been there. And I hadn't been able to see it. You know, I came to it when I needed to come to it, when I was ready to come to it. And I think that taking those Hood Herbalism classes, and I'm currently taking the third in the series, you know, of that, which is a class on how to cleanse yourself, how to give yourself, you know, spiritual cleansings and connecting to yourself in a deeper way. And all of this work has been for myself, because as I grow and as I heal my line, I heal those around me. I'm able to better serve my community and my work as a counselor, as someone that works with people with addictions. And I'm better able to make this medicine be more aligned with those intentions. You know, my intentions is to heal and to help our communities and to be accessible and to, you know, just be as giving, because you never lose anything when you give. Like, you just don't. And so, thank you. Bye.
In elementary school, my mother had me at a day camp program run through Baltimore County and the Baltimore Maritime Institute, where we would spend time on the Chesapeake Bay, getting to know the flora and fauna along with the waterways. I remember learning to identify sassafras and sarsaparilla as root beer plants, and how to tell the different kinds of trees from their leaves or seeds, and how to do things like dig for clay. I also went to a sleepaway camp, Camp Lightfoot, along the James River outside Williamsburg, Virginia, where there was a focus on encountering the wonder of the divine through creation. All of the staff members had names drawn from nature, like leaders Hawk and Ladybug, counselors like Butterfly, and the groundskeeper, Redwood. One of the first memories I have of gathering is walking along the banks of the river and pulling up wild onions from the sand. My maternal grandmother has always kept copious house plants in a small garden when she could. She's always had a bottle of distilled water with eggshells in it under the table in her kitchen to feed her plants. And my mother would ply me with remedies like oatmeal baths, ginger, garlic, echinacea, and golden seal drops, and cola syrup when I was sick as a child. I was inspired and fascinated by the image of the apothecary from the first time I read Romeo and Juliet, and the wise old medicine worker of old was always a favorite story character. When I was in high school, I had friends who would go to Renfest, and I figured out then that the only way I would feel comfortable in a medieval European setting would be as an apothecary or alchemist. The first plant I really worked with was karité, also known as the shade tree. I started having bad eczema in college and learned how to use shea butter and African black soap to soothe and treat my skin. From there, I studied oils and botanical elements that I could add to enhance or alter the effects. I was a part of Students for Ecological Awareness at UMBC and had a lot of conversations about sustainability and permaculture. At the age of 20, I was diagnosed with HIV and started ardently searching for natural ways to support my health. It was when I joined the EcoStewards program through Presbyterians for Earth Care and spent a summer with the Graber Marx family in Hardin and Crow Agency, Montana, that I deepened my knowledge of relationships with plant medicine. I remember Hannah Marx, who's now 18 and on her way to Yale, pointing out yarrow to me and telling me its properties as a 9-year-old. Working her grandmother's garden, I came into relationship with plants I hadn't known before and became better acquainted with ones I'd known my whole life. I went on to participate in the Brooklyn Urban Gardener Program with the Brooklyn Botanic Garden, and later joined the Isabellia Ladies of Elegance Foundation under Brenda Duchesne as a member gardener at Powell Street Community Garden and Green Valley Community Farm, where I nurtured volunteer herbs, also known as weeds, alongside vegetables, and learned from a community of experienced gardeners from around the world. I've also studied under and worked with Mirna Caban-Lescano, founder of Casitas Wisdom Skillshares and the collective that grew out of that, who was in my cohort in the bug program.
Thank you for listening to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review in iTunes and check out www.riseupgoodwitch.com for more information about tarot readings and the apothecary.